Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel, Barrie. Listen and be blessed.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's have our seats and let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. Now, we've been looking at the topic, Lord, teach us to pray. But today, we are taking a break from that topic. We are going to continue next Sunday. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. 2 Kings chapter 20, I read from verse 1 to verse 6. Amen. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus said the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. For his own sake, the Lord will fight for you. Amen. For his own sake, he will give you victory. Amen. For his own sake, he will give you a new song. Amen. For his own sake, he will make way for you. Amen. This morning, for a few minutes, the topic I want to discuss with us is a testimony of service. What did I say? A testimony of service. The first quarter is gone. Many of us on the 1st of January this year made some promises unto God. Is that not so? Yeah. And I want us to just examine ourselves today and ask ourselves that question. The promises I made to God, how good have I been in keeping them? And that's why we're talking about a testimony of service this morning. Hezekiah was sick. And he was going to die. He was going to die because the Lord sent a message to him and said, put your house in order for you will do what? You will die. And then the Bible says, Hezekiah had the word from the prophet, turned to the wall. And in verse 3, he prayed. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And then he wept so. There comes a point in time that your cries become the words of a testimony. Do you realize that? The Bible says the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, they were oppressed by the enemy. And then a time came that the Bible says all they could do was to do what? To sigh. But that sighing came before the throne of God. And the Lord said, I have seen the sigh of these people. There comes a point in time that you cannot even pray out loud again. That was the case of Sister Hannah. She was in the temple. She had cried. Sister Penina had made life difficult for her, in spite of all the assurance that her husband was giving her. And that day, she was praying, but no word was coming out of her mouth. So that the prophet saw her. I mean, what do you call it, Eli? Is he a prophet or a priest? The priest saw her and said, this woman, you are drunk again. He doesn't know how. He didn't know the woman. He looked at her and said, you are drunk again. And the woman said, I'm not drunk. I've only been praying unto the living God. And he made a word. He said, may the Lord answer you. I pray for someone here today. The Lord will answer you.
Amen.
When you begin to speak the words that no man hears, the Lord will answer you.
Amen.
And he'll give you an answer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hezekiah prayed on that day. He presented his argument before God. What was his argument? His argument was very simple. God, I have served you wholeheartedly. I have served you how? See, that 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3, in the New Living Translation, it says, remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly. Always doing what pleases you. I've served you how? Single-mindedly. Always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. When you go to the Good News Translation, it says, remember, O Lord, that I have served you faithfully and loyally. You see, one says single-mindedly. That is no division. My concentration is on the living God. Another one is saying, I have served you faithfully and loyally. Like some of us will say, I remain loyal. Ezekiel did not need to say, I am loyal, because God saw that he was what? He was loyal. He said, and I have always tried to do what you wanted me to do. And he began to cry bitterly. The Bible says, weeping may endure for how long? Say, but joy comes when? Your joy cometh in Jesus' name. Your night of weeping is terminated today in the name of Jesus. So we are talking about a testimony of service. Hezekiah had a testimony of service. He came before the Lord and said, Lord, this is my testimony. This is what I have been doing. This is how I have been before you. And many of us would love to give it a similar testimony to the one Hezekiah gave. But we cannot. Because in all honesty, we are not doing what? We are not serving him. Why are we not serving him? Or maybe I should please ask your brother or your sister, the person with that, say, why are you not serving him? Don't say this one is a pastor or this one. Ask your neighbor, why are you not serving him? It's a very important question. Like I was sharing with the workers yesterday, some people have 10 talents. Is that not so? Some have 5. Some have how many? Just 1. And so the person that has 5, that is operating as the person that has 1, and you say, that brother is on fire for God. Who is he deceiving? He's deceiving himself, because God knows that he's not scratching the surface of the ability he has given him. Meanwhile, people are looking at him and say, somebody will even say, if 2 people will go to heaven in that church, I'm sure Brother Pius. But Brother Pius is very close to failing God. I've shared with us in this church before, a man of God said God showed him a revelation of men that he knew that had died. And among those was a renowned evangelist. Somebody who in his lifetime was very famous. Well known. And he said that man had an impact on his own ministry. He read his books to gain insight on ministry. Then God showed him where that man was in heaven. Truly he was in heaven, but he was very far from the throne. And so he saw him and said, Uncle, why are you here? This is not where you should be. We know you. You are a renowned man of God on earth. And what did the man of God say? He said, please thank God for me that I made it. Say, I almost did not make it. Say, why? How? We know you. We know how God used you. He said, God gave me many talents. But because with little effort, I achieved a lot. So he did what? He relaxed. Nobody saw that he relaxed. But he knew that he relaxed. And God knew that. Can you ask your neighbor, are you relaxing? Oh, maybe your neighbor's point is that he has not even started. So maybe the question you'll be asking more is, have you even started? Because it's only somebody who has started that can be doing what? That can be relaxing. This man said, I had many talents, but I used just 1. And because with little effort, I had great impact, I relaxed. No wonder. Many have spoken to our daddy Gio many a times. This man, you are over 80. Today you are in Netherlands. Tomorrow you are in Europe. When are you going to rest? What was his response? He said, I will rest when I get to heaven. He knew what he was saying. Abilities differ. Talents differ. Why are you not worshiping him? Number one, the reason many of us are not worshiping God is because what? Your hands are not clean. Maybe you should ask your neighbor, are your hands clean? Some people are not asking, this question. You are disobeying pastor. Ask your neighbor, are your hands clean? Psalm 24 verse 3. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and what? And a pure heart. Who hath not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So the number one reason many of us are not serving God is that our hands are not clean. And we know that this God will not condone iniquity. And we are masters of compromise. And he has spoken. Revelation 3:16. He said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I'll do what? So we present a facade that all is well, but we know that all is not well. Please ask him again, are your hands clean?
Yes.
Number two reason many of us are not serving God is because he's a holy God. Because of what? He's a holy God. I pray for someone here today that haven't run this race on earth, haven't entered into this church, even if it is only today. If you decide to run away after today and say, those people, they preach too hard, I pray you won't go to hell.
Amen.
I say, I pray you will not go to hell.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verses 19 and 20. Joshua 24, 19 and 20. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve God, serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, tell someone it's strange gods. Say, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. You now see why some of us are not serving God? Because we see that he's a holy God. He's a holy God. And you can't serve him and now say, I won't serve you again. You know what the devil does? When he sees that you want to be serious with God, he starts looking at you. He starts baiting you. Many of us, the devil doesn't care about us. Why? Anybody knows why Satan does not care about many of us? We are already in his camp. So that he doesn't need to bother about us. Then he sees that this brother wants to be hot with God. This one wants to become a terror to the kingdom of darkness. He begins to scheme against that person. And you know, when such people fall, the devil strikes immediately. Because he does not want to give them the opportunity to do what? To repent. He knows that our God is a God that forgives. The second reason we don't want to serve God is because God is a holy God. He's a holy God. The third reason many of us are not serving him is because we would rather serve Mammon. Is it Mammon or Mammon? How do you pronounce it? We would rather serve Mammon than serve God. Matthew 6:24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. So the question for you today is, who do you love? You cannot love God and love money. That's why the Bible says, what about money? The love of money is the root of all evil. When you love money, you do everything to get money. And some of us can joke with everything. But when it comes to our money, don't try me. Because money has taken the place of God in our lives. And the Bible makes it clear, you cannot serve two masters. Is that how you want to serve God? You want to serve Mammon? When you choose to serve God, He will provide money for you. Will He not? God never fails. But His ways are not the ways of man. You know, we like, I always talk about what I call touch and go. We like that simple one. I mean, especially those of us from Nigeria. We want to sow $10 and get what? Get what? Somebody is in the spirit, 1 million. Yes, so it's a good business. Why, Yibiko? I don't see this one. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it said that our God is a God that does what? He giveth thee the power to get wealth. But it's a process. He takes you through a process so that you lay the right foundation, so that the wealth He gives you can endure. And that's very important. That's why many people that you say, yeah, the man is very rich. How do they normally say? They will say the guy is stinkingly rich. All those who are stinkingly rich, they die stinkingly and their wealth disappears stinkingly. Yes, because the foundation is the foundation of that wealth stinks. The Bible goes on to tell us of some benefits of this service. That's some things many of us don't pay attention to. Psalm 24 that we read, verse 5 says, He shall receive blessing from the Lord. See, if your hands are clean, you will receive what?
Blessing
from the Lord. It doesn't stop there. He said, and righteousness from the God of His salvation. Your hands are clean. There's a promise of blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God. Remember, brethren, that without holiness, how many people will see God? None. None. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We said it earlier on, many of us cannot serve God because He's a holy God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall do what? They shall see God. If you are going to see God, the Bible says you must be what? Pure in heart. Your heart must be clean towards your brother. Your heart must be clean towards your sister. When we say we are going to Toronto, don't be found in Orillia. When you pick the phone and say, my brother, where are you? Oh, you see, I'm in Peterborough. Meanwhile, you are in Bracebridge. Your heart must be what? Pure. Brethren, I want to challenge someone here today. If you find it easy to tell lies, God will not bless a pathological liar. Are we together? Because for some of us, it flows. In fact, when you have lied, you yourself don't know that you have lied. Why? Because it has become second nature to you. It's become natural. But when we say it's natural, it's not because that's how God created you. It's the way you have made yourself. If you are looking for a lie to tell and we don't have it, we know who to go to. Go to Brajima. Just tell him the situation, he will devise a foolproof lie for you that nobody can decode. It doesn't matter. Blessings and righteousness. Another benefit of service to God is prosperity and years of pleasure. What did I say?
Prosperity and years.
We want to turn it the other way around. We want God to give us that prosperity and years of pleasure. Then we'll come back and do what? I say, God, now I want to serve you. But He does not operate that way. Job 36:11. It says, if they obey and serve Him, that is, if they obey and serve God, They will spend their days in prosperity. I pray for someone here today. You will spend your days in prosperity.
Amen.
I said you will spend your days in prosperity.
Amen.
Every disobedience that is making you to spend your days in anything but prosperity, the Lord will address today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And their years in what? In pleasures. We must realize that the Bible says pleasures comes from where? From the right hand of God. Psalm 16 verse 11. Psalm 16 verse 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We all know 3 John verse 2. Amen. 3 John verse 2. What does it say? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul. God's desire for you and I, brethren, is prosperity. God's desire for you and I is good health. Sicknesses and diseases are manufactured from the pit of hell. But we must make up our minds to serve him. We must make up our minds to do what? To serve him. The question is, how do we serve God? Those of us that were in the workers' meeting yesterday, we can list some of those things that we mentioned as the areas where we can serve God. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and do what? Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. That's your number one assignment. Just that's your number one assignment. Go and preach. It's a command. It's a command. Please ask your neighbor, when was the last time? Ask your neighbor, when was the last time? You preached to someone. Some people are not talking. I will call their names now. Ask your neighbor, when was the last time? You preached to someone. That's your number one assignment. Tell that person, don't be selfish. You know who is the person who is selfish? He wants to make heaven. But he doesn't care if his neighbor makes it or not. That's why some people will not make it. Because they're only thinking of themselves. Me, myself, and even in the things of eternity. You can't just tell somebody Jesus loves you. You can't just, we have bookmarks that we use for evangelism. You don't need to say anything. In fact, that's why it's a bookmark. Those of us that are students, just meet someone and say, can I share this bookmark with you? I know that a lot of things are on the computer now, but they still use books. Is that not so?
Yes,
can I share my bookmark with you? So long as he collects it from you, you've done your work. He may throw it away. That's not your fault. If you see where he throws it, pick it up. Give it to another person. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to preach. Just give him what? A bookmark. Just want to give him a bookmark. The reason I'm talking of a bookmark is that's what we have made as a church. That's what we use for evangelism. We talk of coming together for evangelism the second Saturday of every month. You serve God by preaching the gospel. Very important. I'm only going to mention a few. I know we mentioned about 8 yesterday. You serve God, number 2. Through what is called acts of righteousness. Through what?
Acts of righteousness.
Through acts of righteousness. If you live a holy life, it's a service to God. Every time you don't allow the flesh to pull you down, it's a service to God. Every time you find yourself before that sister that is saying, this one pastor will not know now. In fact, it's just once. So you know, it's been a long time I saw my, what do you call it? It's a sister that's talking. I saw my husband. We are just being human. Being human will take you to hell. Every time you find yourself beside that brother that wants to make you to fall, and you say, no, this is contrary to the word. You know, like brother Joseph did. What did he do? He fled. He ran away. That's an act of righteousness. You rise above. Tell somebody you will rise.
You rise.
Every time you see that money, those of us that are accountants, You are doing your work and you realize that there's an account here. The funds in this account, there's been no movement in 6 years. In fact, it looks as if everybody has forgotten that word, that this account exists. So if you do some imaginative debit and credit, they will never know. Every time that those thoughts begin to come near you and you say what? Get deep behind me, Satan. That's an act of righteousness. One of the things I learned in high school is that temptation itself is what? It's no sin. But yielding to it is what? Making yourself the source of the temptation is what? Is a sin. The brother does not want to sin, but you are the one making him to sin. That's a double portion of A sister once went to a brother's house. I'm going to run off from here. Went to a brother's house a few minutes to 12 midnight. They are both single. They are not married. One thing led to the other. The brother did not call for the sister. But one thing led to the other. By the time they finished, they had slept with each other. And you know, like some of us will tell lies and clean our mouth. So, nobody will know. I mean, will anybody know? But somebody knows. And you know how God opened up their secrets? I had a dream. Yes. What I'm saying is in this church. I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw that sister. I saw that brother. I saw another sister. And I saw one of the other. The third sister had a towel around her, and she was entering the washroom. And I saw that brother on the bed, and the brother was saying, "This is my bed," and all that. And I saw the sister on the bed. And so, when we got to church on Sunday, I called them one by one, and I spoke with them. This is what the Lord showed me, what is going on. The sister said, "Nothing happened." The brother said, "Nothing happened." The other sister said, "I made a promise to my mom before she died that no man will know me or touch me except my husband." No problem. Maybe I've done my own part. That day, at 10 p.m., I was at home. The brother called me and he was crying. "What's the problem?" He said, "Pastor, I need to see you." 10 p.m. at night. So we met in the church. And the brother now told me what happened. And he opened up. I'll give him, necessary disciplinary measure and all that stuff. And we prayed for him and that was all. When we now called the sister, and the brother has confessed what happened. The sister said, "What? After all, he didn't penetrate me." The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Is that your excuse? Our God is still a revealer of secrets. He still reveals secrets. So Lord, if you want to serve God closely, and there's a prayer I always pray. You will have heard me pray it on this altar. That sin will not have a hiding place in this church. I guarantee you. I'm standing before God here. God will expose you. Amen. You don't want to say amen. Amen. Because especially you come to church, you say you are a worker in God's vineyard. People are praying. People are fasting. People are saying, "Lord, intervene in my situation." See, does God not hear prayers again? And it is that brother that is causing it. It's that sister that is causing it. That's the person who says you come and lead praise and worship. That's the person who says you come and lead prayer. Meanwhile, he's a terrible sinner. He's an unrepentant sinner. He's the one leading your prayer to God. This living God, we have made up our mind in this church. We are not going to mix black and white. And God expects better from us. I will tell another story and I'll round up. I was listening to a man of God this morning. My wife showed me that video. And the man said he was in a crusade ground. And on that crusade ground, he got a message that Sister so-so-and-so has died. I said that sister was somebody that was coordinating the children's choir for him. Now, who are the people? Who are those children? They are children that were born as a result of crusades that he had given. So he decided that I don't want these children to grow and go to hell. I don't want them to grow in immorality. So he decided that they should all form what? A choir. From toddler to whatever, as far as we are at home. So that sister was one coordinating the choir. And she was doing a good job. And now called him and said, Sister so-so-and-so has died. He said he just packed his things from the crusade ground. And he went back and said, no, God, who will do the work that this sister is doing? Who will I give this assignment to again? That was his argument before God. Remember, we are talking about what? Testimony of service. He said he came back to his base. He went to the hospital. And they had so many things attached to the sister's body. And he gave a very loud shout. I don't remember the name again. What's the name? Yemisi. And he shouted and said, Yemisi, come back. And the sister opened her eyes. And she said she had gotten to heaven. She had passed through 6 gates. She was about entering the 7th gate. It was, they were opening the door for her when the angel looked back and said, oh, you have to go back. Your pastor has not released you. Why did that pastor not release her? Because she had a record of service. Because what she was doing is what no one else could do. He went before God, and the sister came back and said, Daddy, why did you call me back? Brethren, I guarantee you, if you have an opportunity to enter heaven, nothing can bring you back. She had a record of service. She came back. She continued her assignment. I want to ask you today, if you were to have that experience, if I was the pastor they called, if I stand there and I shout, Johnson, come back, will they answer me? I say, you are calling Johnson. You don't know where Johnson is. You thought you knew Johnson, where he is now. Sorry. Is somebody listening to me? A testimony of what? Of service. Let your service speak for you. He said, Sister Dorcas, Abby. Was it Dorcas?
Yes, sir.
In the Bible.
Yes, sir.
She died. And when she died, people were looking, oh, look at, she did this handkerchief. She did this hair covering. She did, she was a good woman and all that. And Peter came. When they had Peter was there, I said, call him. The sister was there. Peter came, he spoke the word, she came back to life. She had a record of what? Service. She had a testimony of service. Let's bow our heads today. What's your testimony? What will God say of you? It's just the first Sunday of April. We still have a long way to go, even for this year. At the end of this year, what will God say about your service? There are many opportunities and avenues to serve God. The key thing is to ask yourself, am I serving Him? You know it. Let's all sing that song that says, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my.
Savior, I surrender.
If you will surrender your love of money to Him, He will turn your life around and prosper you.
I surrender, oh. I surrender. I surrender, oh. Unto thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
That sin you are holding on to, that you think is hidden, that you think no one knows, that you are saying, what will they say? My brother, my sister, what will you say in hell? And all that they will say is because you never repented. Why don't you surrender that sin? Surrender that life of sin. Tell the Lord, I have no excuse.
Unto thee, blessed Savior, I surrender.
The songwriter said,
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me.
You don't need any other argument. He died for you. Not only did He die for you, He's risen.
He's risen. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died.
The altar call today is for someone that knows that you have gone back. You are in church today, you know that you are not where you used to be. You know that in some time in the recent past, you know, many of us, we come to Canada, we change from fire to ice cream. You know that once upon a time when you speak, heavens will tremble. But you know you have gone back. I don't know. Could be one person, could be two, could be somebody online. If there's anybody in the house today that wants to say, Lord, I've come back, but I'm returning today. Come to the front. Come to the living God. Come to the living God. If there's anyone in the house.
I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming.
Is that your cry? Is that your song this morning? You are saying, I've wandered far away. Oh, the pleasure of sin has been my concern. But today, Lord, I'm coming home. His arms are open to receive you. No one is looking at you, but heaven is looking at you right now.
Coming, oh, coming, oh, nevermore to roam, nevermore to roam. Oh, nine arms of Lord, Lord.
Father, peradventure, there's someone online that is crying this moment and saying, Lord, I'm coming home. That you will accept that individual right now in the name of Jesus. You are the God of restitution. You are the God of restoration. The grace to obey and do your will grant unto your children. the grace that leads to restoration grant unto your children. And I pray, Lord, that the words that you have sent unto your children today shall not stand against anyone on the day of judgment. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, for we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I would like you to stretch your hand even towards the servant of God and just begin to proclaim and declare that Father...